There must be respect for our present perception of activity, no matter how dim. We must remember that it is the divine imperfectly seen through the lens of personal or material sense, and that as this material sense, this animal magnetism, is dissolved, more and more of the divine is revealed. This dissolving process is continually going on when we disregard the human appearance, the testimony of sense, and turn solely to the evidence of mind, which is evident to us at all times through ideas or thoughts. This is our business. The only business is mind unfolding its infinite nature. This unfolding, or omni-action, is the ceaseless, universal, uninterrupted, unlabored flow of ideas, which appear to us relatively as things we seem to need, and which come to us through what we call a profession, employment, vocation, in the measure that we let that mind be our mind. Regardless of what we call our business, it is mind's business of being itself. So our business, and the only business we could possibly have, is mind's, our mind's, business of being aware of the perfection of its ideas. And thus, what we call our profession, our business, is always contributive, is always satisfying, is always joyous. It contributes to our freedom, dominion, ease. It is never labored, burdening, hampering. Man, being a mental spiritual being, man is the thoughts he thinks, can no longer labor by the sweat of his brow. If we are not realizing our spiritual mental selfhood, living as mind, spirit, we come under the disintegrating beliefs of matter, and our business fails. Man's activity is reflection. His possession is reflection. Mind could find no reversal in itself, no fear in itself, no delay in itself, no inactivity in itself. Therefore, man, as reflection of what mind is knowing, could not express or manifest fear, inactivity, reversal, delay. The whole secret to a perfect, joyous occupation is to let the one mind be our mind. Mind unfolding as our understanding of its ideas is our occupation. Settled, arranged, remunerative, ever satisfying. But unless we see that this is so, our task, whatever it seems to be, will be labored, unprofitable. In the textbook, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "The one ego, the one mind or spirit called God, is infinite individuality, which supplies all form and comeliness, and which reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things." Close quote. Seeking the one ego, being the one mind, by thinking thoughts which reveal or declare that mind, we demonstrate our own true individuality. Individual means one. that which cannot be divided without losing its identity. This infinite individuality, unfolding itself infinitely, must have infinite expression, each being a witness or proof of the one ego. So each idea or expression must be individual, distinct, must be itself forever. Each idea is a complete individual unfoldment or revelation of the one ego. Infinity cannot repeat itself, so each expression is infinity, infinitely being. Therefore, each idea includes as its being, or embodiment, or its world, every other idea of the one ego. If this were not true, the ego could be divided into parts, or could be divisible. An impossible premise to associate with God, the infinite all in all. It would be a denial of infinity, which is infinitely being itself, and could not cease being itself. Whole one. As this divine oneness unfolds to us, we realize that individual man includes all men with no separate interests, but all individually testifying to the infinite self-completeness of the One. We realize that the only I, or ego, could never act contrary to itself, that every individual idea is essential to every other idea. There is nothing left out of infinity, and therefore nothing left out of each individual expression of the One. No idea can have life without every idea having life. No idea can have abundance without every idea having abundance. No idea can have peace, poise, or joy without every idea having peace, poise, and joy. You are not your brother, nor is he you, but your individuality, being essential to identify infinite individuality, must include his individuality, because you are both the one mind, infinitely, and therefore individually being. We cannot be reflection without including our brother. Each individuality is essential to every situation or state of being. We are essential always. Nothing is existing without each one of us. If the demand for one is present, then we appear essential. We are denying our God being, our essentialness, our individuality. We are impoverishing ourselves, as far as our present experience goes, when we entertain any thought of want or woe, any sense of lack, any criticism or resentment, any hate, any condemnation in connection with our brother. Any wish or desire to change our brother, any human opinion regarding him, is a denial of our oneness with God, a denial of reflection or true individuality. Our relationship with our brother is our relationship with God. Quote, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him," close quote, Christ Jesus said. The true brotherhood of man is, quote, love your neighbor as you love yourself, close quote. We cannot demonstrate our own oneness with God and at the same time accept a sense of separation from our neighbor. Mind, God, our mind, cannot find anywhere at any time anything but its own qualities or attributes actively being. And so we are denying our relationship with God if we think we see something unlovely in our neighbor. If we think our intelligence, our perception, our spiritual perception is greater than our brother's, to that extent we are limited, hampered, hindered, because there is but one mind, one man. The coordinated wholeness, the harmonious activity of the infinite ideas which soul unfolds as itself, is the body of soul. Man and the universe functioning in accordance with divine principle, love. Therefore, each idea is continually blessing every other idea. As this oneness unfolds as our understanding, it will be impossible not to love our neighbor as ourself. The one mind present as our mind is love present as ourself. A realization of this oneness appears as completeness, with no sense of waiting for something or working for something, with no sense of standing still or getting into a rut. All process, all desire, all impatience rest in the supposition that there is separation, or in the belief that there is a limited consciousness that does not know all, and thus have all. Being spiritually conscious, discerning that objects of sense are really ideas of soul, step by step, this gulf, which appears to exist between our present dim discernment of truth and truth itself, and which accounts for the apparent duality, the material and the spiritual, narrows until our demonstration coincides with our revelation, and our objects of sense appear to be what they really are, ideas of soul. Then we are not looking through a glass darkly, but we are knowing as we are known. And this is reflection.